there and back, but it was so good. It had been a couple years since some of us had seen our family, so we had a really good time, enjoyed it very much, and it was just really good to connect with them, and we're happy to be back, most of us. Some of them were really having a good time with their family and their cousins, so, and talked about maybe staying there. Anyways, so happy to be here and to be back. So this morning, we're going to talk about a brand new you and what that means for us, that we are made new in Jesus and somehow it works. Some years ago, Angela and I, we pastored in a small town called Tillsonburg, Ontario, which is just like southeast of London, Ontario. And when we moved there, we got this little apartment. And I mean, it was small. No joke. It was small. It was like the size of an envelope. And I don't mean like the big yellow envelopes. I mean like birthday card envelopes. It was tiny. And but it was a really great deal. It was really cheap. And it included, I think, like everything with it, right? Like even the cable TV was included, and it was really like $400 a month or something. It was just the two of us, right? And so it worked out really well. But when we rented the place, the person that had lived in it before us had smoked a lot in the actual apartment, and so it had a drop ceiling, you know, and the white tiles, and they were no longer white; they actually had turned yellow because the person who had lived in it previously had smoked so much, and so you could smell, right? You could smell the smoke inside the apartment, and Angela has a much better sense of smell than I do. I really have a terrible sense of smell. I usually tell people I don't smell good, and they agree. And but I don't. I do not smell well. I don't have a good sense of smell. And so, anyways, we took the tiles down and we scrubbed them and we washed them and we tried to get them clean. We tried to get a smeller, and we could not. Like they went from yellow to just less yellow, right? And the whole time we lived there, Angela said that it smelled like smoke. I didn't notice it. As I said, I don't smell good. And, but the thing is that the tiles actually seemed to be like permanently changed. There was no putting them back to the way that they were. The only answer would have been to have installed brand new ceiling tiles, right? That's the only way it would have worked. And here's the thing in me telling you that little story is that in our spiritual life, sin has had a similar effect on humanity. Sin has, it has affected us, it has stained us, it has changed us. And many of us try, in our pursuit of God, many of us try to clean ourselves up. We try to be less stained. We try to be less smelly. And we try and try, but the fact is that there is something permanent there within us that we can't change on our own. Only Jesus and his blood, only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. Now, if you're new to church, okay, if you're new to faith, you might think, well, how does blood clean anything? Right? Because blood is one of those things that usually stains, right? And maybe you've tried to get blood stains out. Perhaps you have a little darker history or past, and maybe, you know, you've had to try and get blood stains out. Joking. maybe, though. And but the fact is that, right, if you're not a part of faith, if you haven't ever had it explained, the idea that blood cleanses you maybe doesn't make sense. And the fact is that when you're in faith, you know and understand, because we have the advantage of God having described it and told us and how it works, that we know and understand that it's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and sets us free. So this morning, what we're going to talk about is just that. We're going to talk about how the blood of Jesus makes us clean. It doesn't just make us less dirty. It doesn't just make us less sinful or just a little less yellow than we were before. It doesn't just hide or mask the problem. It removes it. It removes the problem altogether. And so we're going to look at a few different scriptures. In the Old Testament, right? And so the old system that God had set up with humanity, they had to use animal sacrifices to for forgiveness of their sin. And so this is the way that it was set up. They would shed the blood of an animal, and then they would pour it over the altar that was there. And God describes one of the reasons why it's to look like that in Leviticus 17. And this will help us connect as to why the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover our sin, it cleanses us from sin. And so Leviticus 17 says this, it says, "For the life of the body is in its blood." Okay, so he's talking here about how they, when they're going to eat an animal, and they shouldn't just eat an animal that they find dead that still has the blood in it. And he says, because the life of the blood is the life of the body is in the blood. "I've given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord," which is the word atonement. We're going to talk about the word atonement a little bit later. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. Okay? So in the Old Testament, this is how it worked, and God identifies that the life of the body is in the blood. The Bible also describes that sin brings death to us. Sin has brought death to humanity, both physical and spiritual death. So sin has brought spiritual and physical death, and God counteracts that death with blood. He counteracts it with blood. Sin has broken our relationship with God. It brought death to it, and blood, which is the life of a body, makes us right. It atones or purifies us. Now, before Jesus, right, the blood of an animal, right, so they, before Jesus came and did what he did on the cross, setting up a new agreement, a new covenant between God and humanity, they would sacrifice the animal, they would put it on the altar, and they were only pure, they were only clean or pure until they sinned again, because it just covered it. And so it didn't deal with the old nature. Didn't deal with the old nature, which is prone to sin. Have you ever noticed that the old you likes what it likes and wants what it wants, and right? It's prone to sin. Sin is essentially, all sin is essentially just selfishness, right? It's really just putting us above God and other people. And when we come to Christ, God reorders it, right? It's Jesus first, and then other people, and then us last. We're always last in God's kingdom and in his economy. Jesus is always first, and other people are always ahead of us. And so the problem is that in this old system, it didn't deal with the actual nature, the true problem that was prone to sin. But everything changed. Everything changed with Jesus. Everything changed with Jesus. It's important for us to know that, to get that, because we often live as though that old nature is still around. We all do, right? Because we understand that it seems to keep coming back to life. Have you ever noticed that? You think you have something conquered? You think you have something conquered, and then like a week later or a month later, it's like it's back, right? And so the fact is, though, that everything changes with Jesus and who we are, our very nature. Jesus didn't just cover the issue. He cleanses us. He dealt with the old nature problem. So here we are. We're in 2 Corinthians 5. This is the scripture we're going to look at today. 2 Corinthians 5 says this: "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to become sin itself so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you belong to Jesus, you are new. You are new. He has taken the old life, the old you, your old nature, and it died on the cross with him. And then he gave you his life. This is an incredible exchange that we get to take part in. He makes you a new creation that is free from sin. Now, it says here, I'm going to go back one. Oh, no, sorry. Verse 21, right? For God made Christ, who never sinned, to become sin itself. So Jesus didn't just die for us, he died as us because we were sin. We were in sin. And so he comes and he becomes sin. Now this word, to become sin itself, is actually the word atone or atonement. And it has a very neat meaning. This is what it means. It means on behalf of. Okay, so he became sin itself. So on our behalf, he became sin. Okay, but there's more to this word. So it means on behalf of, it means to be over, beyond, or more than what is required. So he does this on our behalf, and when he does it, it's over and above, it's beyond, it's more than what was needed. Jesus gives his body, his blood, in our place, on our behalf, and it becomes more than what was needed to make us right with God. He becomes sin. And then he dies, destroying sin with his death. So sin gets destroyed at the cross. All of the effects, all of the consequences of sin die with Jesus. And God now offers all of humanity reconciliation. This opportunity where he says, come back to me. To be made right with him. See, here's the thing about being made right with God. It's not, you're not just okay with him. You're not just mostly right. You're fully, wholly right with him. How many of us actually believe that? That we are fully, wholly right with him? Good, I'm happy to see some hands. I think a lot of us live in places where we think, well, I'm mostly right. Or I'm a work in progress. We understand that we're all works in progress. Part of the problem when we say that, when we say we're works in progress, is we're making room, we're making space for the fact that the old nature is still in control of part of us. I know and understand that that's the truth, the reality for each and every one of us. But how we think about ourselves makes a difference in how we then live out the truth of God in our life. How we define ourselves, how we think about ourselves. If we think that we're only mostly right or partly right or with God as opposed to wholly and fully right with him, it will change how we approach him. It'll change how we interact with ourselves and other people, how we think, how we pray, how we feel. God offers us a way to be made completely, wholly right with him because Jesus is the atonement, meaning he's the payment. He's the way that things are made right. Jesus is the way that things are made right. All of the wrath, the Bible would say the wrath of God, I'm just going to use the word punishment. All of the punishment that God had regarding sin was poured out on Jesus at the cross. In Romans 3, it talks about Jesus being our propitiation. Okay, what that means, it's a... might be the only place you ever hear that word, right? Is in the Bible. What that means is it means to exhaust the wrath of. And so God actually exhausts all of his anger, all of the punishment and wrath that he has because of sin. He pours it out all on Jesus. What does that mean for you and me today? That means that you cannot be punished for your sin. You are unpunishable. How many of us, though, live in places where we think, right, Because we know us, we know what's going on in our head and heart. We know our thoughts, we know our actions, we know our words. And we think that God may just be holding something back for us, or something, a consequence comes into our life, or just something comes into our life, and we connect it to an old behavior, an old nature problem. And we assume that God is punishing. God is no longer holding men's sins against them. We just read this scripture. You are unpunishable in Jesus. That is good news. Here's why I know this. God is just. If you're just, you only punish as much as required, right? So you don't say, hey, you know what, you deserve 20 years, but I'm going to give you 40. You don't say, you deserve death, but I'm going to kill you twice. God is just. He only punishes what is deserved. Death was what was the punishment for sin. Jesus died. He took the punishment, meaning that there is none left for you and me. Do you see how free that we can be because of the cross? This is what God is trying to communicate to all of humanity. Come back to me. That which was the problem is no longer a problem because of Jesus. Do you believe that you're unpunishable? That doesn't mean that you won't experience the consequences of a poor choice. That's different. It's different. But even in that, God has this way of working all things together for good, for those who love him. Have you ever made a mistake, messed something up, and then God intervened and fixed it for you? Right, because he's just that good. This is how good he is. God is just. He won't punish more than what's deserved. And think about this. What did Jesus become for us? He became sin itself. And the word means to become more than what's needed. On behalf of and more than what's needed. Jesus didn't just become sin. He became more than what was needed for all of humanity in the act of the cross. This is how I would think about it. This is how I would describe it. We had this in debt before God that we could not pay. So let's just say it's $100. Okay, let's say we're all exceptionally poor and we don't have $100. Okay, we owe God $100 and we cannot pay it. And Jesus, at his death on the cross, not only pays the $100, but he pays $1,000. He's more than what was needed. Imagine if somebody owed you $100. And they came along and they said, I'm not just going to give you the $100, I'm going to give you $1,000. Would that not be a pleasant surprise for you? Right, this is supposed to be a pleasant surprise for all of humanity. Jesus has done more than what was necessary, more than what was needed to set humanity free. How we think about ourselves and what Jesus has done at the cross makes a difference in how we interact with our world, because it is so often easy to look at our world and think that sin is the thing that rules here. Isn't it? It's easy to look at your own life sometimes and think, I think sin's in control of me. I think it's winning. And yet, God says something very, very different about us. The cross is a part of God trying to convince humanity how free we can be. The other part of the message about of us is the resurrection, of how new we can be. The resurrection is about how new we can be. All of this, it says, is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Jesus. And so then it says we now have this task of reconciling people to him by showing people that God is no longer holding their sins against them, that they too can be unpunishable because of Jesus. God is no longer holding men's sins against them, humanity's sins against them. If God isn't holding their sins against them, then we don't have a platform, a place, a foundation to do it either. And yet for years, the church has taken stances where they want to rail against the sin that they see in the world. And the good message that God has is so very different. He says, come to me. Come on. Come on back to me. I've got something really good for you. You can be free from this. So what does this mean for you and me? How should this affect your life and your faith? I've got three ways for you today that this can affect your life, your faith, what it means for you. The first one is this, is that the goal for us should be to live new. To live new, to live brand new, because that's who Jesus says we are. It's who God says we are, that the old is gone and the new has come. So instead of working to make yourself cleaner, to make yourself less yellow and less smelly, let's be honest, we all do this, right? Especially after you make a mistake, after you mess up. Maybe it's just me, I don't think so, but I have this internal conversation where I'm like, okay, God, I won't do that again. I'm so sorry. I promise I'm going to do better. Come on, I'm not the only one that has that conversation with him, right? Yeah, thanks. I'm going to do better. And then we go about trying to make ourselves cleaner. We're scrubbing, right? And yet, we don't make ourselves cleaner at all. It's only Jesus that cleans us. It's just him and his blood that makes us clean. The thing that brought us death is meant to meet the thing that brings us life. And it cleanses it. It doesn't just cover it. It takes it away. And we become new in him. So instead of working to make yourself cleaner, we need to work on believing that Jesus has made us new. You are new. Now, I understand that you may think, yeah, but I've been doing the same thing over and over and over again for years. I understand, but that's the old you. The new you will live free. Work on believing that you're new as Jesus says you are. That he's set you free. So focus your energy and your efforts on that, on coming into the place of believing that you're new, brand new in him, a new creation. The thing is, here's what I've noticed, is that when I focus on making myself cleaner, on just, you know, working on myself, and when I focus on that, what I begin to notice is everything that's wrong with me, and I become very self-focused. But when I focus on Jesus and being who he says I am, better things actually take place in my life. It leads me to better things. It leads me to better encounters with him and experiences with others. He says that he no longer holds humanity's sins against them. If he doesn't hold humanity's sins against them anymore, that means yours as well. And sin is more than just an action, right? It's more than a thought or a belief. Sin is a state of being. And so that's why the old is gone and the new has come. You are completely set free from sin in Christ. And so we work at believing who he says we are. This is the way that I tend to think about it. Early in my faith, I understood, because I got saved around 18 years old, and when I came to Christ, I knew that something had happened. Like, I knew that he had changed me. And yet, these old habits and patterns and mindsets were still there. And so I would find myself continually coming to the cross the same way that I had initially come to the cross. Meaning this, I would come to it repeatedly like, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. And so I was always on this journey towards the cross, because I thought I needed saved again and again and again. I didn't grasp and understand that Jesus had taken my punishment. So I didn't have it. It wasn't mine anymore. It was on him. And I think a lot of people have lived in these places where they are continually coming towards the cross instead of what I've learned now is I'm supposed to live from it. I'm supposed to live from the cross, the work that Jesus has done for me. It's subtle, but it makes a difference in us. Before Jesus, I had to come to him and what he's done on the cross. After Jesus, I live from it. I live from the place of freedom. And so to live new means to live from the work that he's done. Not seeking it out as though needing it. It's already done in me. Hope that makes sense. We're to live new. Okay, that's the first one. The second one is this. Is that because of what Jesus has done, we should expect breakthrough. We should expect breakthrough because Jesus, that's what he's paid for. This is how this should affect your life and your faith. Understanding that you're not punishable. Understanding that he has made you new, that he hasn't just covered your sins but cleansed it from you. It no longer exists in you. Is that this, we should expect breakthrough because Jesus has paid for it. The old ways, the old methods, the old life is gone. You are a new creation. And because you're new, you can expect different things from him that line up with what it means to be new. See, Jesus has done more than simply pay the bill or erase the debt. His work on the cross has done more than just bring us to zero, to even. It's cleared the path for more. His resurrection made it possible for us to live in the fullness of new life. To take hold of everything that Jesus paid for. See, you don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. Instead, you position yourself to receive it. And our belief system either helps or hinders us in the pursuit of positioning our heart and mind to receive what God says is true about us. I've heard it said one time that we shouldn't have a thought. We shouldn't have a thought about ourselves. We shouldn't have a thought about ourselves in our mind that God doesn't have about us in his mind. God says we're new. And yet many of us still believe and think old. In the old nature, in the old ways. And we just simply cannot have a thought about ourselves that God doesn't hold in his mind about us. God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus. He's no longer holding humanity's sins against them. And this is very good news for us, because what was the source of our biggest problem, our biggest failure, has been taken care of. In the Father's mind, there is no longer anything in the way between you and him. There's no longer anything in the way between you and all of humanity, all that he has for us. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult to receive all the good that God has in mind when you think and believe that you're still in a negative position. This is the difference when I was talking about when I was always coming towards the cross. I always thought I was in a negative position with the Father. So I was always having to come to the cross just to get even, just to get to a place of zero. I know I'm not the only one that walks through this kind of struggle and belief. And so I was always coming to the cross and saying, Jesus, I need you just to get me even, just to get me okay with you. And God looks at me and says, you know, the Father, it took me years to figure this out. The Father says, you don't understand. You are completely, wholly right with me. And because you're completely holy right with me, you actually now are able to engage in and take a hold of and receive all that I have for you in my kingdom. See, because in my head, what I had to do was I had to come to even, and then I had to work really hard to not mess up again in order to hopefully then be able to ask God for something good. And even then, when I'd say, well, I'm going to work really hard, I'm not going to mess up again, and then I'll ask you for something good, and maybe you'll give it to me if I've done well enough. And you end up on this treadmill that is exhausting in faith. And you and you're busy looking at everything that's wrong with you. And then what happens within us as humanity when we're on this treadmill and we get tired and we're busy looking at everything that's wrong with us is eventually we get tired of that. And so we take it and we turn it outwards and we begin to look at everything that's wrong with everybody else. Because maybe we can bring everybody down to our level. It's difficult to receive breakthrough when you're living on that treadmill, right? And yet God says, it's all available to you. It's all there and ready for us. This is why we have to live new. God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to do miraculous things through you. He wants to move through you to send out this message of reconciliation, to both show and tell people the love and the power of God. It's not actually based in how good you are. It's based in how good He is. See, if you're starting in this negative position, you're always going to be looking for what's wrong about you, what failure you need to fix or to have God to forgive so that you can then ask for something good. Or if you're just at zero, then you just have to work, you have to perform. But Jesus became more than what was necessary. He became more than what was necessary. It isn't just, He hasn't just reset us to zero. He's actually, through His death and then His resurrection, He has made us new. He has restored us to the very thing that He has made us to be in His creation. Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters. This is why you can expect breakthrough. Because you're a son. You're a daughter. And when you go to your father and you say, and here's the thing, because you've no longer done anything wrong. So you can go to your father with complete confidence, in with a heart full that knows, I'm right with you. I haven't done anything to betray you. I haven't done anything to disappoint you or make you angry. You're for me, not against me. And so I come to you now as a son, as a daughter. Not only do I have to, I don't even have to make my way there in terms of I don't have to cleanse myself or purify myself. I don't have to come to the cross to make sure I can come into your presence. I live from the cross, so I'm just always allowed in your presence. Always allowed. There's nothing in the way between you and Him. And so I can come in and I can ask you for whatever it is that's on my heart and mind and believe and trust for breakthrough. Jesus, what He did at the cross, His blood and His resurrection, has broken the power and the effect of sin over all of humanity. You look like, I'm not sure you're believing me. It has broken the power and the effect of all of sin over humanity. If that's true, then when you ask for God to move and to do something good and miraculous, shouldn't we expect it to happen? Because the power of sin is broken. So we should expect breakthrough. Number three is this. We should live as though God is for humanity. Live as though God is for humanity. This probably needs to have a change of heart and mind for each and every one of us. Because sometimes it's not that God's against humanity, it's that we are. God is for humanity, all of humanity. Doesn't matter what they've done or where they've been. It doesn't matter how evil or vile we consider them to be. Jesus is for them, not against them. I understand there will be a day where, you know, it all ends, and then those that have not picked him or those that have set themselves against God, they will pay a price. But until that day, until they pass from eternity or Jesus comes back, God is for them. He is calling them. He's saying to them, come back to me. Come back to me. He is for all of humanity. This is important for us in how we live out our faith. Because here's the thing. God is for Campbell River. Right? He's for your neighbor that you don't like. He's for your coworker that you don't get along with. Right? He's for them. He has good in mind for them. Because he's no longer holding their sin against them. Here's the thing. God is actually for the homosexual community. God is for the transgender. It doesn't mean that he agrees with what they're doing. But he's for them because he no longer holds their sins against them. And he desires for them to come back to know him. Yeah, I'm pushing your buttons. It is good. Doesn't mean he's going to pour out blessing on them. But he's for them and that he's calling them back. Guess who's supposed to be the instrument of reconciliation? Yeah, we are. How can we engage them and believe that God has the best in mind for them if we actually believe and believe in here that God wants to punish them? Jesus has taken all the punishment of mankind, all the punishment and consequence of sin at the cross. Here's when I talk about, you know, God being for humanity, here's one of the practical ways I think this works out for you and me. God desires to use you to speak to people, to show them that he loves them, to speak through you. I actually believe that in this room, that each and every one of us, that honestly, 100% of you are meant to hear from the Spirit of God and then speak those words out to people that are caught, lost, trapped in sinful places and places that where they don't know the Lord. God wants to use you to speak to them. He might give you a dream or a vision. He might just give you an impression, an understanding of what's going on in their life. You might suddenly know something about them. And then you speak it out, and they're like, and they would, of course, be surprised and amazed. But that just opens the door then for you to say, Jesus loves you so much that he's told me this about you. Because I'm here to tell you to come back to God. He no longer holds your sins against you. You may not want to say it just like that, but you could. But tell them that Jesus loves them. See, God knows every individual. He isn't counting their sins against them, but they just don't know that yet. Their eyes are blind to it. And God wants to speak and act through each and every one of us. The people would experience his love and the power of his kingdom and the new life that exists in us. You see, the new life that exists in us is meant to make its way out of us to affect others. So, we encourage you to live new, right? To expect breakthrough and to then live as though God is for other people. To live as though he's for them. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. It's cleansed you. It's made you new. You are brand new in him. Whether you're living it or experiencing it is a different issue. One of the ways that you come into newness is to stop working on everything that's wrong with you and start to live towards what is new in you. You are new in Him, and He desires us to live new. So in a few moments, we're going to have communion. There, this moment where we remember and we celebrate the body and the blood of Jesus, that the thing that was given for us that is more than what was needed, more than what was required to pay the price for us. It's the cost of making you new. It's the cost that it doesn't just cover you. It doesn't just make you less clean. It makes you holy, completely right with Him, what Jesus has done. And this is this moment where we remember it. We celebrate it. One of the things I've noticed, right, as I'm telling you about, early in my faith, I always thought I was in this negative position with God. So I was always coming towards the cross as though I was a sinner in need of saving. And then I would come and I would be groveling. Communion would become this somber thing that, where I used it to beat myself up. You know what I mean? Jesus, look what you had to do for me because I'm so awful. And now the change that's happened that I think He wants to have, it's this celebration of we don't deserve it and we haven't earned it, right? But it's like, look what you've done for me. Thank you that you gave yourself for me to set me free, to give me new life. And because I haven't earned it and I don't deserve it, all I really want now is to live a life that's full for you. What an incredible moment we have to be able to say thank you to Jesus. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to invite those that are serving to come on up. And they'll stand here at the front, and you'll be able to come down. If you're unable, if you're not mobile and you can't come down, just raise your hand, and we'll bring it to you. We'll do that in just a moment. So if you're serving this morning, if you could please make your way down. But let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we are new in you. Thank you, Lord, that we're new in you. Father, may you help us, each and every one, to live new. God, to understand that our sin isn't just covered, made less dirty, less sinful, but we are completely cleansed and made new in you, Jesus. Thank you for your death and your resurrection. Thank you for your body and your blood, Lord. May we come into this new understanding of what you've done, God. We come to you now as sons and daughters. We come to you, Father, understanding that there's nothing in the way. We come to you, Lord, and we present what we need right now. Just take a moment. Whatever it is that's heavy on your heart and mind, present it to Him right now, believing for breakthrough, believing for good things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, say thank you for who you are. Lord, may you help us. Lord, may we live new in you. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right.
Those that are serving.